They're going after the books, and then the character himself
is a bit
going
more
after
like
the
a game.
Games. Yeah. So it's kind of like a
Romello
mix of that.
Is a $5 I think it's Canadian.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The books. Yeah, sorry.
Go ahead. No, go.
Books and the books, Geralt is like very ugly and not like very chivalrous and stuff, you know. He's more of like a, you know.
I wasn't aware of that. Okay. So and so obviously the game is more toward, even though Geralt wasn't like a looker on Witcher 3. He didn't
he's more of like a ladies' man. He's like James Bond, you
right?
Know what I mean?
The James Bond of albino Witcher drug dealers. $5 super chat. The director didn't play the game. Was a line taken out of context? They were referring to a recent visit to 343. They all played the games. Correct. What I'm saying is, I am pretty sure that he stated that when they were making the show, they literally didn't talk about Halo. I could be wrong on this, but that's not exactly what I read. But that's good to know that part at least was taken out of context. So,
I had heard at least the actor, for example, made a point to not.
Yeah, the actor did make a point to not at all be involved with Halo, which, but again, whatever. It is what it is. People, you know, we'll see how the I don't mind. I don't mind. Like if it,
you see,
if it's good and people like it, let them like it.
Yeah, that's true. If it was a different take, something fresh, but they had the kind of love and appreciation for the source material, it would be different, I think, because it comes across, right? Where there's some level of.
I have a question for you guys then. Would this maybe have been a better show if it had been based on the game I don't like, but everybody else does, which is ODST? Would it have been a better show?
Yes.
Right. Yeah, like a SWAT, but in space.
I feel like because a lot of, media right now, like modern media is just character driven. And I think with ODST, when you have a lot like a squad and how they overcome challenges together, I think that would play better in a TV show. Yeah.
Also fear, right?
I also don't know what the Halo show is about.
Yeah, so true.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So I can't really.
I think fear is a big thing, and the Master Chief is never afraid, which is great in a game when it's not a horror game. But I think for a TV show, a squad would be, they could die. Like Master Chief, is anybody expecting him to die at the end of the season? No.
No, I mean, the game is all about killing aliens. A TV show should be about how they like, even in zombie shows and stuff, it's not about zombies. It's about
people
interact. It's about the people always, right?
So. Yeah. And the mulch factory of humans being killed left and right, you know. Mm-hmm. Look at Lost. Lost had an insanely high death rate, you know.
Yeah.
Some of them.
And it's super character driven.
Character driven, even though I know a lot of people don't like
it. It's pretty much almost exclusively character driven.
Yeah, because story-wise, after a while, there was no real...
Yeah.
You know, the overarching plot was a little lost on everybody, so it was...
It was lost, yes.
Yeah. It was literally. Like Battlestar, where they get in the middle, and they're like, we're sort of out of the original idea, let's just do shit, and it becomes character driven, which can be awesome, because I also don't need everything explained. I'm okay with that. And I'm okay, you know, I don't like JJ's level of mystery box. A little less would have been cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That dude. That dude's like a D&D generator with no climax generated. He just rolls on a fucking generator sheet. Polar bear. Fucking.
You nailed it. That's the problem, because the whole thing with generating tension and mystery is that at some point you resolve it. Sweet payoff. But with him, it's like... Sex without the orgasm.
Yeah, dude, he's just pumping away for hours, and which can be fun, but man, after a while, you're like, what?
Yeah, like, can we...
What was the smoke machine?
Dance somewhere?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, long story short, so we haven't seen that. It's a good question. There we go with a good question. Some people are saying that they do not believe that the show is good, even if you take the Halo part out, which is also possible. Picard is not good. Sorry.
It is not. I tried like
and
two
that
solid
that has a great
times
character
on it.
And yeah. Picard has solidly showed that it does not matter you have to have a good show. You know,
yeah.
You can have a great character, but if the show is not good, it is just not good. And I'm not saying Discovery not good, where it's just all over the place. I'm saying Picard really isn't that good.
It had
good.
The chops, but
it's got the chops.
Too.
Yeah, and it's all over the place. And it's got great return characters. It's got all the guys returning. You know, I mean, I think 80% of the main cast has returned
what
to the show.
What do you think it is,
times.
Dude, that it hasn't?
Fuck, I don't know, man. You know, okay, I'll just say this. That one has become very PC. And I do believe playing it safe makes it hard, because how do you hate a bad guy when the bad guy has to be liked? And every game and TV show in the last 10 years has been like, he's a bad guy, but he's got a reason. Sometimes the scariest bad guys are the ones with no real, they're just like, they may not be as interesting, but they're just, you're just like, wow, go ahead, Silver, though. Silver might be disagreeing. What were you saying, Silver?
They're just like, I haven't seen Picard, but like I've heard from Trek fans that one of their main issues with it is that it's sort of lost sight with what Star Trek is to them.
That's what I heard as well.
Where you have a character with like a sword running around decapitating people. It's not very Star Trek-y.
That's a little farther than I got. Yeah. Okay. Well, interesting. I'm going to check it out, though. I'm going to check it out. Let's see. As someone who's, this is Remlo again, $5. Remlo. I might be pronouncing that wrong. I apologize. As someone who's older and has played Halo for 20 years, I do enjoy the Halo show. I suggest watching and ignoring the vitriol online. Well, sometimes the vitriol isn't the issue. I didn't want to see it prior to hearing anybody complaining.
I think
Does that
make
sense?
The thing. Yeah, it hasn't generated the interest, it feels like, because none of us have gone out of our way to...
Right, and I would say all of us have watched a show that we all others hate. Does that make sense? Vitriol to us doesn't matter. Like, if you guys are like, "This your show's stupid, Carrick," I'd be like, fuck you, I'm watching it anyway. And you guys would do the same to me. Yeah. I don't think we really...
Dude, they're stranding all the time.
Oh, no.
What were you going to say, Silver? I'm just going to move on. I'm not even going to talk about Death Stranding.
I guess for my part, it's also just that I saw Forward Unto Dawn. Like the short film.
Yeah, yeah.
The little short film made.
Did you like it or not like it?
I liked it.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah, same. Yeah. Started with episodes and then made it.
And outside of that, I don't really feel a particular need to sort of engage into the
Halo
universe.
Yeah,
I think I feel the same way, honestly.
I feel the same way, probably.
On a show or film basis. Yeah. Like that film delivered what it had to me.
Do you know what it is, dude?
That's a good
point. Like, yeah, what do you want from something? And, you know, you go to McDonald's, you want a burger. You're not going there for the salad. And with Halo, you want a game, right? You just want to just shoot some shit.
Yeah,
crack a beer, shoot some shit.
Also, partially to your point of whether an ODST show would be better. From how I understand it, Master Chief is the main character of the Halo show, right?
Yeah, that is for sure.
Which is, I think, the mistake, because part of why Forward Unto Dawn works so well is that you only see...
Yep.
The Master Chief.
That's what made it so
through
hype.
The eyes of others.
Yep.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And they were in fear, Silver. Those guys were trained. Some weren't the greatest. Some were really good. Remember, because it showed them going through school, but there was real fear. You didn't even see the Covenant. You just heard. You know, they were like, people are being attacked. What's going on? And then he shows up at the end, and you're like, America or wherever you're from, Canada. I don't think Canada's ever said that, but
no, fuck no.
Yeah,
dude, no. Or that's exactly.
You get my drift.
Exactly.
Though.
That's fucking super. Yeah, that's very true. Like something like Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, where you see Darth Vader, right?
Mm.
Something like that, where it's like, holy shit, I know this character, and he's like a badass.
Right.
Like he's been a main protagonist or antagonist before. But now seeing him from a different perspective, it just like it has that oomph, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's got that push. And you don't need to be Darth Vader in it to have the push. You don't need to be Darth Vader. You can, in fact, a lot of times on the side characters where they're skirting away from a big baddie is better because you guys saw the TV show that was doing the stormtroopers, right? It was like the YouTube channel that they did the life of stormtroopers. And it was like filmed like Cops, but it was stormtroopers. And there was about, I think there was one season. And if you haven't seen this show, you need to see it. It's on YouTube. And I believe it's called Troopers, but it's just them busting up fights with Ewoks and shit, like normal shit. It's hilarious. But how many times have you seen a show and you're like, I wonder what that guy's doing back there? Like, yeah, what's it like working? Yeah. You're working on a tool and two dudes with lightsabers suddenly are fighting behind you. And you're like, what the fuck's happening?
Yeah,
what's happening?
Yeah,
you run off and you tell your wife. You're like, I was just doing this thing and the people fucking came in. And so having those stories are cool.
That sounds like a sitcom. Like
sitcom. Troopers was a sitcom. If anybody hasn't seen that, check it out on YouTube. Anybody in chat, check it out on YouTube. Tell me if you like it. I don't think they're going anymore. Vintage said, $5 super chat. Do you guys watch Angry Joe's reviews of Picard? I don't watch the show, but I watch his reviews. No, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it. I do watch some of his stuff, but I haven't.
I watch some of his stuff. I don't really watch his movie or I've seen a couple of game reviews. Stuff.
Yeah. What were you going to say?
I didn't see Angry Joe's review, but I did see Red Letter Media's Picard reviews.
Red Letter Media, is he the one who used to talk all the time about pizza rolls and having a person having a chick in a dungeon? He would sort of ramble off on his reviews.
For the Plinkett reviews.
Yeah, Plinkett reviews. I found those again hilarious. Those cracked me up. I don't know what he does now. I haven't checked it in a long time. But see, Invader at the end of Fallen Order was so awesome. I love that he leaned heavy on the fear aspect. In Fallen Order?
Oh, yes. So when Darth Vader shows up and you see the sheer power of what he can do.
Right.
And they're
strike the fear and the one woman's eyes and her fucking facial, her animation.
Although,
what?
I'm sorry, but to be fair, her eyes are always popping off.
Yeah, okay, but she, you could sense her fear super well, right? But and then when he comes in and he just fucks everything up and you're just running away from him, it's holy shit, this when you see it through someone else's perspective, it's holy fuck, this guy is a legend, you know?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Moving on from there, talking about another perspective, let's jump from Sony and Vader to Microsoft. So Microsoft announced June something something. They're doing their own event, which I believe is lined up with the exact day E3 would have been. So they're basically still doing their E3, from what I can tell, with their date.
June 12th.
June 12th, which, by the way, anybody, we will be streaming that.
Showcase.
That must be a Sunday, right? Is that a Sunday? I'm looking. June 12th. Yep. So they normally do their stuff on Sunday. So this will be June 12th, a Sunday. If you guys want, you can jump in here. I'll be streaming it. Microsoft will be showing their stuff. They got some space going on. You notice the little Xbox. They got the little, looks like, almost like Mass Effect-ish. I'm assuming it's
right.
About Starfield. I believe this will probably be our first big look at Starfield. Okay. That would be my personal guess, unless
and
they decide.
We're going to see an ugly Bethesda NPC.
Oh, God. And where are they now?
I'm just preparing myself, dude. It's...
I don't know, man. The little chops,
exactly.
Man, the little chops they showed. It's I don't know, dude. They've been with Fallout and Elder Scrolls for so long, and this is a new IP. I really think just give them the benefit of the doubt.
I'm lowering my expectations as much as I can, Abzi.
I know. It's just, I love their games, except Fallout 76. So I can't really be
Me too, man. It's more from a graphical standpoint, those NPCs and stuff.
Yeah, I guess so.
Have you guys ever seen somebody using Zoom and you can touch up a person's face? If you turn it too high, they start glowing. That's what everything from them has always looked like. And they haven't stepped it up with facial textures and animations.
No.
If they do,
Ubisoft had everyone looking like they have a double chin.
If they do, they get past Outer Worlds, because I think Outer Worlds looked pretty good, but it was a little bit more cartoony, I would say. Mm. I thought Outer Worlds looked a little cartoony in whatever they were doing. If they do step it up, man, it's going to be that's not all I want, but that'll be a huge step. If they show a character and this is your guy, and we get to finally see a dude who looks current gen, that's all I'm asking, because they have other stuff that's beyond any other games, interactivity and with every item. If they show that, that'll be a good thing. And then I want to see them run around and climb something, because Bethesda animations are notoriously dog shit.
Oh, God.
Yeah, especially in third person.
If they show an improvement to both of those, that'll be a positive to me. I'm excited to see whatever it is, because I'm on a space game.
I think for me, it would be the RPG mechanics if they step it up.
Don't you think they've nailed that already?
Yeah, but then Fallout 4 was a little bit down from what they had in their previous titles, I feel like, with the choice and consequence and stuff like that, like the factions, and you know, it was a little bit less on the it was less RPG heavy. I like them to go back to like being more RPG heavy.
Okay.
You know?
Like, I guess like they're Obsidian. So RPG heavy that even if they step down, they're still more than most. So I guess I was okay with Fallout 4.
Yeah, in this day and age,
sense.
Right? And this, most RPGs right now are mostly action games with like skill points, right? So
yeah, I liked Fallout 4 though. Admittedly, I was one of the few that really enjoyed that. So what do you guys? What's everybody looking for from Microsoft? It doesn't have to be Starfield. Is there any
Avowed?
Oh wow! Yeah. That's a fantasy game.
Obsidian,
yeah. Because I love Pillars of Eternity and I love that world, and yeah, I'm excited.
Everybody in chat, what are you hoping for from Microsoft? What about you, Silver? Is there anything? I know you don't watch these religiously, but is there anything from Microsoft in particular? Because you do have an Xbox, you do have a PC. Is there Game Pass stuff you want to see? Is there mod stuff for consoles you want? Is there something that's like hot and heavy?
I'd love to see more of an expansion on Flight Simulator. Yeah.
Oh, true. Yeah, that would be maybe something. Did you see the boat that a mod maker had made, Silver, for that?
No,
they made a boat.
Yeah, they made a boat, and it works because they modeled the water. Yeah. So I was just like, wow, that was
That's
not
awesome.
What I was expecting.
So like a boat simulator.
Yeah. What do you
within
think?
Within flight.
Do they already have a bunch of helicopters in that game, or any helicopters, Silver? Do you know? I haven't played it.
I think they made one helicopter. Yeah.
So what would you like to see overall, performance, or are you looking for items like planes?
Not really performance, but just more airports, more regions accurately modeled in the game. Like we have seen them actually adding. So just keep adding. Yeah.
Do you do that on PC or console, Silver? If you do play it.
Both. I tend to do it mostly on console these days.
Yeah, did you think the controls? I felt the controls worked fine on console. Once I learned the idiosyncrasies, I felt it was completely flyable. I mean, it's not like you're turning barrel rolls and they do have the Top Gun add-on though, don't they? Don't they have an F-14 coming? I think they do have like a Top Gun merge.
They do have jets, I think now. Like fighter jets.
Like fighter jets, yeah.
But with the controller, do you go like full manual?
Not what I'm flying. No.
I do. You don't have to, but, well, I'll say, I wouldn't say all the time. You can. It's flyable.
And how do you like interact with all the switches?
It's bumper, a lot of modifier buttons. But I got to tell you, their tutorial, I don't know if Silver agrees, but I felt the tutorial on console was ace. Like they were like 747, here's your controller, hit this, look here. And once you sort of identify the panels, this is your panel for this stuff. Pretty soon I was like, I was able to take off and land completely manual with the controller. It wasn't like Elite, cause you're not dogfighting, not, you know, which then there might be some issues, I would assume. What about you guys, Microsoft, Reg?
Probably what's it called? A Plague Tale Requiem.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause they have Microsoft? No, but they have a PR deal with Focus, I think, for that game.
Oh yeah, first day Game Pass, right? Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and awesome. Trek to Yumi is also first day Game Pass, and it's coming out in like 6 days. Hell yeah, dude! Hell yeah, dude! Fuck yeah, go Microsoft.
Outer Worlds 2.
Yes, dude. Yes.
Dude, that'd be a hit, wouldn't it? If they were like Starfield, but guess what, bitches? One space game isn't enough.
We got
enough.
The feather space game. We got
the better. I have a good question. That would be rude. We got one that'll actually work coming out as well. Anyway, go ahead. What were you going
to
say?
I have a good question. So, what do you want? Do you want Starfield 2 to be like a direct sequel where you take your character and go into a new game?
Do you mean Outer Worlds 2?
Outer Worlds 2?
You're like Starfield 2. I'm like, dude. If I'm here, I might choke on a fucking Dorito by that point. But
no, and or would you like to see just like a more open world? Or would you like them to have the same kind of thing?
I loved the planet to planet because I just hub world stuff like Mass Effect. I'm way into that versus open world. Let Outer Worlds do, or let now you got Starfield. Me doing it, fucker. Let Starfield do the full thing. Yeah. Dude, I loved go. Each planet was different. It was like Ewoks and Frozen planet. You know, it was like Star Wars, man. You went to each one. Was there a lava planet? No.
No, but there was also a huge city. And asteroids, it's cool because you saw like different corps and like different. Mm-hmm. And, like,
admittedly,
different
do you know what I want to see, Abzi? I don't know if you guys agree, but both these games is more NPCs. Because Outer Worlds had like six guys running the entire economy for a massive city. And you were like, you know, it was like the same 12 rednecks from Kentucky all interbreeding and running their own town. And you're like, dude, come on, man. This is sort of like, let's get.
I like more social. Like my favorite thing in these games are the social interactions.
You mean like helping a quest, or do you mean like being bitchy?
Just like dialogue in general with people, like how they interact.
The dude with the moon head.
Oh my God. Yeah. And guys, when you saw the moon head, I don't know if it was, but that was immediately my mission was to get that. Like the moment I saw he had a moon head, I was like, that has to be a helmet in the game. Please be a helmet in the game because I gotta, I gotta find that.
Did you guys, did any of you max charisma to the highest stat? So I did
I couldn't even finish the game, sadly.
Oh no. I did that.
Sorry, I gotta ask him real quick. Oh, okay, didn't like it?
No, I didn't. I could not gel with that game at all. Unfortunately, which was usually disappointing for me.
Okay, gotcha.
Because look forward to it.
That's fair. All right, go ahead, Abzi.
Yeah, so if you do that, there's a cool like little Easter egg where in the main city where you have to get through a door, you got to talk to a guard. And if you have 100 charisma, you can literally Jedi mind control him.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that.
Move along now. Yeah, it's a good time, man.
So Reg is saying he'd like to see Outer Worlds. I think that would be... So Avowed, Outer Worlds are both there. Johnny, is there any stuff for you?
Honestly, what excites me the most is stuff that we haven't heard about. That they come out with some really cool game and they go like, hey, this is on Game Pass, you know, today.
Day one.
Because I have a feeling they're saving something like that to kind of come out with a splash, you know? Something they haven't announced yet. So that would be my hope.
People know more than me. Maybe you guys know, but I'm sure somebody in chat is going to be like, you're wrong. It's impossible. I would like to see the next Gears, something involving the next Gears, official next Gears game. I really did think the last one was great. I also loved Gears Tactics. So if they were like, you liked Gears Tactics, here's Gears Tactics 2.
So and... I definitely liked Gears Tactics more than the mainline Gears title.
More than
like
the last one or all of them?
Interesting.
All of them? All the Gears title? Like all 1, 2, 3, you liked Tactics better than all those?
Yes. Yeah.
Shit. Well, and that's the thing. Now you get to enter. If you don't, you will play them. You're not saying they're terrible. You're just like, you like them better. The cool thing is...
Like, they're still good games. I just like Tactics more.
And now
still.
People can jump into Gears through Tactics and not play, if they don't want to, you know, they can play Tactics and still get the story of Gears. They're still going to have some, you know, some stuff that involves those. Dude, Gears Tactics was so...
So, actually,
Gears Tactics
was
everything Halo Wars wanted to be and failed utterly at. Sorry, I was not a Halo Wars fan.
No, it's true. It was a really good combo of genres. So I read today that the guys from Gears 5 were originally working on a content patch that was going to allow you to create missions, like custom missions and stuff like that. I forget exactly the naming they had for that, but they've foregone that. So they've ditched that.
I heard that,
of brand new projects. Now, I don't know if that means a different team is working on the new Gears, or if they're kind of taking a break from Gears altogether and doing something else.
I mean, Gears is their...
Bread and butter, right?
Gears is one of their bread and butter, so I'd be surprised if there wasn't a Gears and a Gears... Gears Tactics sold really well.
Yeah,
and so did Outer Worlds. So it's like, we know Outer Worlds 2 is being made because they fucking showed, you know, the trailer for it. So we know that, but what I'm hoping for is Tactics and Gears to be shown... even in trailer form, say, yes, we are doing these. And yes, we are going back to Marcus and Dom. I'm just joking. You can't do that. But I like those original characters in 1 and 2 a lot. I didn't mind the ones in the newer ones, but I didn't like Judgment so much. I don't know if you guys did. Wasn't it Gears of War Judgment?
No, right.
Yeah, I didn't like Judgment. I didn't like 4. I liked 5 a lot.
That was the one with Baird as the main character.
Baird, yeah. 4, dude, I've liked all the Gears in some way.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember anything about 4 at all.
I just don't like fighting. I love the gore and Gears and like chopping people like.
And what happened in 4?
It's just a lot of robots at the start that made me like bounce off really, really fast.
Well, remember Halo 4 had the same thing. Halo 4, you win against, I didn't mind them, the Tron-looking bad guys. I can't remember
those
their names.
Those were cool. Those
I
were like
they were cool, Proteus, but a lot of people hated them.
Protoss, Starfield. Not Star... Fuck me, dude.
Yeah, Starcraft. You got Starfield on.
Starcraft. Protoss from Starcraft. God damn.
Reading some of the stuff in here, looks like people want to see the same stuff we talked about.
Okay.
State of Decay 3, yes, it is in development hell, which is weird because I heard from someone that it was months and months and months ago. The rumor died out, but that was months and months and months ago. And then just now we got the news story that it is in development hell. If that's that long, like if it's been in development hell that long, that makes me very nervous. Like, very, very nervous for that title because I'm a big
don't be surprised if we get a Skyrim Windows Store edition or some other name edition. Like, this is totally new, guys. This is now on the store. You can do mods. Like,
as nobody says anything, I'm so Skyrimmed out that yeah.
They released it again recently. I thought they did.
Yeah, they did. They released something.
Yeah.
Dude, they released did. So
they did
many.
Like a remaster or something.
Yeah, well, was it the next gen
version? Like a graphics
maybe?
Update or next gen version or something, yeah.
Skyrim Deck Edition. Skyrim Steam Deck. How does Skyrim run on the Steam Deck? I'm sure it runs fine, right, Reg? You've tested that.
I have not installed it, so I don't know.
You tested the all Milky. These other games. The one he doesn't test is the one.
I installed like 80 games, but not Skyrim. No.
What, is that because you are Skyrimmed out like us or what?
Yeah, I was not interested in even trying
it. In even trying it. Remlo, $5 super chat. Thank you for the super chats, man. They are working on a smaller project like to get used to UE5 before the next mainline Gears, according to Insider Jez.
Dude, Gears and UE5.
Real quick, yeah. I'm not saying that that's not true, but devs have had access to UE5. That reasoning makes no sense. UE5, UE4.
It's been there for a year.
It's been
I
there
believe.
For a long time, yeah. So that, yeah. I don't know, that reasoning doesn't make any sense unless there's something we're not aware of, but we're seeing normal. Did you guys see the Spider-Man trailer I posted in the thing? People are like
Spider-Man and the Superman one. Someone did.
Yeah, yeah, and those are guys just sitting at home mixing characters in. I don't think a professional company needs to work on a smaller project unless there's something in particular that they're testing, a technology of some kind. We do know that there's the other game that was shown for a second, the Cartel's drug game, made by Avalanche. You guys remember that? All they showed was like the title. And I believe that's a horrendously huge online like MMO shooter. That is one that they're doing. So it maybe if they're testing some type of tech for Unreal and online, I could see maybe.
It's also Fable is still rumored, right? Or
Fable's,
is it confirmed?
Yeah, Fable's still.
Is it? I thought it was announced.
Fable? Oh, Fable's announced. Yeah, Fable's announced. Right. Yeah, it's confirmed. For sure. We just Contraband. Thank you, guys. Contraband is the one that is behind the scenes. I've been hearing a lot of not insider stuff. I guess sort of, but it's more along the lines of people knew about this for a while. There was the idea of, you know,
wasn't Coalition like a part of Unreal or some or Epic or I fuck, man. Weren't they a part of Epic at one point or am I just.
I don't think so.
One of the leads worked at Epic and then moved to Microsoft or something like that. Or wasn't it Ron Ferguson? Was Ron Ferguson originally with Unreal?
Cliff, I thought, no.
Well, Cliff wasn't. No, Cliff was always, but there was some mixture there. Maybe it was just Todd Ferguson. Yeah, I was right. Okay, so Todd Ferguson.
Okay.
If I said Todd, I think I did.
Yeah, it's all good.
It's all good.
Dude, all of us, we have this like in our heads, you know,
Todd, game, Sonny. That's another thing. I was excited for it. Did you guys see? Nobody else is excited. I'm just going to shut up. I was going to
say it.
Well, I'm really excited for the Disney like live inside the character.
I saw it
and it was like, you know, some kind of like Sims thing with like all the anime characters, and I was like,
to me it looks like a what's the fucking game on Switch, New Horizons, Animal Crossing but Disney.
Captain Planet's already been made in The Sims. It's the one where you go to the island and feel bad about yourself and clean up trash.
You clean up the oceans and
clean
stuff.
Up the oceans and say I remember. Yeah, whatever, we'll miss it.
Can't even kill your Sims because your neighbors come and help you.
Oh my god, what's happening with games? Guys, quit arguing about systems. Christ. It's okay, peeps. No need for console wars, man. No need.
My Xbox is better than your PlayStation.
Animal Starfield would be good. Somebody just posted that. That would be cool. Because I know everybody I know likes Animal Crossing. Like, really. If they get it, they think it's one of the best. They're really enjoying it. It would be cool to go to other planets instead of other islands. That would actually be... I would play that. It's like Spore, but with Animal Crossing stuff. Animal Crossing components. Reg, do we have free games up and running? We ready to do this? Let's do it. Free games, or somewhat free.
All right. A bit longer this week. So, free game, totally free. Epic Game Store first, as usual. Just the Die Already and Paradigm. And on the Microsoft Game Store, MX versus ATV Alive for the 360. That's the 360 version. So, that's it with totally free games. On to subscription stuff. We have PlayStation Plus coming next week with their monthly games, Curse of the Dead Gods, FIFA 22, and Tribes of Midgard. On PC Game Pass, we have Bugsnax, Unsold, 7 Days to Die, and Research and Destroy. And Game Pass for console, we also have Bugsnax again, NBA 2K22, Unsold, 7 Days to Die, the console edition, which Carrick enjoys a lot, I know. And Research and Destroy. And on Prime Gaming, so that's Twitch Prime, there's Cat Quest, The Curse of Monkey Island, Dead Space 2, Mole Mole, and Express Deliveries DLC, Out of Line, and Shattered Tale of the Forgotten King. And that's the end of the list.
The Curse of Monkey Island, that's the third game.
Is it the new one they're coming out with? No, right?
No. It's the third game. The Curse of Monkey Island.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's the version from 1997.
Okay. Yeah. Because I know they're making a new one.
The one that looks like that basically looks like a cartoon.
Yeah.
Or an animated film.
It was one of my favorite ones just because of the look, I think.
One that Ron Gilbert doesn't like.
oh no, really?
Yeah, because I mean, he wasn't involved.
He wasn't involved in it. Yeah,
yeah. So he feels like it's not a true sequel to Monkey Island 2.
I don't think there'll be a new Way of the Turtle, but those guys, they did Yesterday's, which wasn't a good point and click, but they did Way of the Turtle and its sequel are still probably my two favorite point and clicks of all time. And it just dawned on me, they do look like that Curse of Monkey Island game. Like, I do like that kind of animation. When it looks like that.
Yeah, I mean, Curse of Monkey Island game was the Monkey Island game that introduced Murray the Talking Skull. So
yeah, so it's got to have some kudos there. Those games are so good, man. I love a good point and click. Runaway. Yeah, thank you, Shane. The Runaway series. If anybody likes point and clicks and you haven't played the Runaway series, man, then you haven't played.
I mean, I don't know if there's a better video game item, especially for a point and click game, than the rubber chicken with a pulley in the middle.
Rubber chicken with a pulley was cool. And then, do you know the only thing
the
that all
sword fighting
the insult sword fighting for me, it was always trying to figure out how to get the seagull off of the deck in the one, and you had to like you hit the board.
Right. Yep.
And I remember calling up their LucasArts phone line and being like, "What the fuck is going on? I can't get past this." And whatever it was like, you know, going out of the screen and doing something, coming back in. But it was so good, man. Those games are great.
To me, the rubber chicken with the pulley in the middle was just like the embodiment, the ultimate
of
sort of
shit that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, of trying to figure out what do I do with this item that I have in my inventory? How do I combine it into something useful? Yeah.
Blazing Dragons had that where I remember it was like a dishwasher part, a bellows from something, you know, and you're just like, what the, you know, you could never have put those together.
I always got stuck. I always got stuck in point and click games. Like,
I mean, that I think we all, I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but it's like I do.
A lot of them use straight up moon logic.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's on purpose, right? It's like, you just sort of, like Cathy
Rain, I would be just going between like three places over.
I love
when you start trying to combine everything you have in your inventory and see if you can create something.
Oh, dude, all the time. And when you finally get the hotspot, when you finally do combine, you're like, now your brain has to go, which of the
mouse, like,
but then you're like, which of the five rooms does this chicken with the so now you got one part of the puzzle. Now you still have to figure out the other, and
You try the weirdest combinations. You put a pencil in a sink, and you're like, maybe this will work.
You know, Thimbleweed Park, I think, did pretty good on not having a bunch of moon logic. It had some, but I actually really thought that game was good.
It was great.
I was able to follow that. There was a couple parts with the clown that I was that I had some difficulty with, but overall, that was one of those games where I'm like, I get it.
It's like one of the only ones I've beat, actually.
Well, Cathy Rain, it is funny you mention that, because that is on some stuff for a biker chick who talks to dead spirits or something. I can't even remember, but it was like somebody's dead, all that stuff in Cathy Rain. The issue there was they use moon logic in a game that doesn't look like it should have moon logic. So it was a little confusing.
Right. What is moon logic?
Moon logic means things not making sense that you put together. Moon logic. Okay. There is no logic. It's just like the moon. Yeah. You grab the moon.
You have to make like an extreme leap.
Or just cut yourself and not leap and just float in space and put shit together.
So basically understanding like any Dark Souls game ever is
pretty much.
Right? Okay.
Reg, what?
One of my favorite games of all times, Day of the Tentacle, a lot of that.
It does. It
like,
does.
Yeah. Tons.
And the thing is,
all of them.
I don't know about you guys. I got stuck all the time. I think that's why I don't have ego when I do get stuck. I know some people are like, this game sucks if they get stuck. I guess for whatever reason, I'm so accustomed to not having, I had that 1-800 line, but most of the time you had to sit there and go like, what the, it's not the best gameplay. And that's a legitimate criticism, is that it's not always the best gameplay. But I got stuck all the time in those old games, man. Like
it just depends like how long you get to the aha moment.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
like,
that's true.
It's satisfying to do that. You know.
Well, I mean, dude, what were those original games? Myst. I remember doing Myst, and they were a mix of Moon, but then they had some very crunchy, like almost escape room stuff. And I remember my brain was having. This was back in the newborn times when you didn't mix those. And I definitely had some issues in Myst. I remember there was a roller coaster or a mine cart in Myst. And it was like, if you went the wrong way, you just died and you had to start all the way back. And it was like, you know.
Games are notorious for that. It's like just the starting. They were brutal with the starting points. Like
they
you
didn't
die,
care.
Yeah, you're repeating the whole fucking game.
Yeah, they didn't care. They were just like, Adventures of Willy Beamish was that way, where it was just like, I was playing it going like, oh my God. Like, they just, you would get people saying they don't respect your time.
I mean, especially the old Sierra games. I mean, Police Quest.
Dude.
You didn't follow procedure to the absolute letter of the law. You are dead.
Yep.
Yeah.
You lose your job. Done. King's Quest 1 and 2 and 3 were the same way. Where King's Quest, we would be in computer class, where everybody was in computer class supposed to be programming, and everybody was like, dude, how do you get to the fucking knight's sword or whatever? Like, there'd be like 20 people in a room and the teacher would be like, guys, you need to get to work. And we're like, yeah, hang on one second. And then the teacher even got involved. His name was Otha, by the way. Otha Buck was the name of our teacher. Southern dude. And he came over there, found out we were talking about that game. And he was like, guys, get to work. But anyway, here's how you do it. And he was like one of those cool teachers that played games.
I think I died like 12 times as Sonny Bonds trying to pull that first car over from the traffic stop.
Yeah. Yeah. Those games, were
Police Quest.
What else we got? We got indie game. What's the indie game?
Our indie game of the week is Wobble Dogs, which is a curious blend of sort of a Nintendogs sort of pet simulator crossed with like a physics simulator style game, like Ghost Simulator or Surgeon Simulator or stuff like that.
That game's got good reviews.
Crossed with Spore a little bit. Basically, you are tasked with taking care of these and raising these dogs, with the caveat that these dogs all mutate as they grow older. And they will mutate in various ways depending on like what the environmental stimuli and what they eat and stuff.
Sweet.
So sometimes maybe like their hind legs will grow really long and thin. maybe
this one doesn't
grow...
have front legs at all, Silver. This
yeah.
one in the
yeah, exactly. the exactly. That's or maybe creepy. Maybe their legs will become so stubby that they can't actually walk around. And you can also sort of interact with like their environment and them. You can like pick them up, throw them around and stuff. Watch them interact with the environment, watch them interact with like the physics systems in the game, as you sort of build toys for them, and you gain access to more and more food, and then you can sort of genetically splice them, grow and breed new breeds, like they can develop mutate wings and stuff. All they can get all these different sorts of mutations, and like the main appeal of the game is just to see how they interact with each other, with the environment and stuff, as they grow.
Yeah, I'm seeing this person. There's a little bit of a building sim too, because they're like putting different rooms down.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks to me. Well, I didn't look into it, but it looks like kind of like Viva Pinata.
It does a little bit, but more like a almost like a Donkey Kong because it's flat. It doesn't have the fur thing. It's got the flat shiny where edges are shiny. There's a term for that specific. But dude, this is awesome. This guy's got no. He's got no lay. Oh, and then they're all just sleeping in a corner.
Yeah, I mean, it can be this game's got simultaneously adorable and horrifying in sort of equal measure.
Developer Animal Uprising.
It's a nice chill experience. There's no like win state in the game. There's no end state. There's no failure state either. So.
Are you selling the dogs? Is that your job?
You're not. No.
Just breeding them?
Yeah, you're just breeding them for like seeing new breeds. What happens when a dog gets like its limbs developing in that particular way and stuff like that? What happens when its body becomes too big for its legs?
This one's got like fucking spider legs. That is nightmare fuel. Yeah. Dude, yeah. this is sweet. And reviews, by the way, people posted it.
They also have like simulated behaviors, so they have different behavioral traits. They will all have like unique behaviors and personalities. Some will be aggressive, some will be really friendly. Yeah. And of course they also die because they age in the game. So they will pass away.
Okay. So that's
you can get
sort
a horrifying
like...
spectacle of the other sort of munching on their cadaver. Yeah.
Do they get the DNA if they eat them? Do you know? Do they get like parts of the DNA? Like if they eat them, do they get a part of the DNA of the animal they ate?
I think they get part of the creepy. because a lot of the mutations run on like germs that go into a bacteria that go into the guts, their guts. Their guts are heavily simulated. So for instance, you can feed. That's why feeding them different stuff with different bacteria sort of affects their mutations in different ways. So I think you can affect mutations through that, and they can pick up germs from cadavers like that. Yeah,
dude, I'm just reading some of the reviews. Is there a ghost? Can they die and exist as ghosts? I'm seeing this one that looks like he's transparent, or maybe that's like a gene to be like
they
a
don't
ghost.
Exist as ghosts, as ghosts. To the best of my knowledge, no, I haven't encountered that.
I'm just reading all of this stuff. Of the reviews, which are insanely, this game is genuinely disturbing, almost evil in its underlying atmosphere, and amazing is what this review says. I have a tiny dog with broken legs named Piss Fingers, whom I feed the souls of his deceased brethren that they cannibalize immediately upon death to extend his lifespan, like a spider-legged vampire. It is, but it's on the top. It's cute, but on the top he says
it's like Happy Tree Friends. It's like cute.
Yeah. Piss Fingers has utterly destroyed my gene pool, and his descendants are rapidly devolving into dog centipedes. I only let them eat onion rings in a hope that they'll grow wings, but it does nothing but shrink their bodies and legs into nothing as I'm forced to watch them inch along the dirt and then slowly die.
Oh my god.
That's a game for me right there. See, those are the kind of things that, like, that'll eat a weekend where you're just like, what in the hell is going on in this game?
Holy shit.
If you guys look, the reviews are phenomenal for that. So I posted a link above. It's called Wobble Dogs, people. It, by the way, it doesn't look evil. He's described. It looks like even the death is sort of like goofy and cartoony.
Well, but yeah, but that's the front what makes end, it more evil. It's yeah, the, satanic. Oh,
dude, yeah, it, like the yeah, where something looks almost too happy go lucky, and then behind it's like happy, Teletubbies, and behind creepy. The behind the scenes, you're like, this is creepy as hell.
It's like Barney. That okay.
Looks like people. Oh, some people
you can
bought
also
it.
Share like dog.
Yeah, you can share the DNA
others and stuff. Okay, okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Right. That's awesome. Those are the kind of games that, like I said, will eat up a weekend. That are worth. I think that's a perfect price too. Like I know some people probably say 10, but on something like that where they have that much going on, you have death, you have gene splice, all that kind of stuff. Man, $19.99. Obviously, people agree because it's got thousands of reviews and they're all positive. So and that's one of the more positive rated games on all of Steam. It's very cool to see those kind of games come out. And I'm a big fan of, you know, I liked Spore. I liked Creatures yeah. with the Norns. I was showing Abzi a picture of Creatures. That was back in DOS 3.1 days.
Yeah, that activated a memory yeah. in my head that I didn't know existed.
Yeah, that you was back when, there and would have never yeah. popped up again unless somebody had shown you that picture. Yeah, yeah. It's just
and
like
then it all came back to me. like using the hand to like pet them and stuff.
Yep, yep. And the sounds
them.
They would make. Like, hee hee.
Yeah.
Jason
yeah.
Stillwell says Wobble Dogs has a great community Discord run by the producer.
Nice.
Yeah. So there you go. That's something that, yeah, it looks like it's perfect price. I'm glad they ended up. Sometimes you'll see somebody underprice something. You almost see people think that means that it's not worth it. You know what I mean? Like where they do what I consider to be a really good price. And some people are like, oh, it obviously must suck if it's that cheap. I think 20 is like perfect for that. Or it's just like, you know, it's a premium price for that kind of game, but still lower than everything else. Sad we never got to see Spore 2. Yeah, and you never will, unfortunately. Let's see, what else do we got to discuss? What else do we got in the chat? Hey, Johnny, can you throw stuff in the chat? Do we have anything?
Yes. Well, I had some numbers. Had some numbers.
Do it.
I thought this was interesting. So these are numbers. Let me pull it up here to discuss of console sales, and they kind of go into different periods. So I wanted to run this by you and see if you are surprised or if this is expected. But for example, and this is from VGCharts.com. PS5, this is 2022, the PS5 has sold a little over 2 million units, and the Xbox Series X or S has sold 2.3 million or more than that. So they're actually beating PS5 in 2022 so far. But also interestingly, the Switch is almost at 5 million.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
In one, what? In 2022?
In 2022, according to this.
Dude, that's why Nintendo said they have no plans on releasing like a successor.
That is beyond nuts. Guys,
isn't that bonkers?
Subscribe to the Patreon. Jump in the Discord with us. It's well worth the price of a Switch. And it's like $5 versus whatever a Switch. What's a Switch now? $199?
What?
It's a Switch.
$330 still for sure.
$399.
Yeah.
No, maybe the new one, right?
The OLED version is probably
by yeah. Nintendo Switch Canada.
I thought it was around $300 for a Switch.
It is.
Do you have to go, buddy? All right, I'll be right back. I'm gonna let my dog.
Yeah, the OLED one is $350 here, and the non OLED is $280.
Oh, it's only $259 here. What the fuck?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And that's...
Oh, that's a light. That's the light. Never mind.
Oh, yeah.
The light
so that's
is $259. Yeah.
But then
I don't
what's...
know. I can't even find a price for the normal Nintendos. Are they still out of stock? Probably, right?
Probably.
Probably still out of stock.
But yeah. Hold up, because if you thought that was amazing, in 2021 they sold 6.7 million Switch units.
Jesus Christ, dude! When did it come out? 2017.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
I mean, compared to the fact that they've now sold 5 million in less than half that
yeah,
time.
That something doesn't make sense now in those numbers.
I think, I don't know.
I guess you're right, yeah. There's something there that's... I mean, this seems legit, right? So this is from official sources.
the end of last year, at least from the Switch, we have the numbers from Nintendo directly, and those were total lifetime sales of 104 million almost.
Wow. Uh-huh. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. But I mean, these are pretty crazy numbers. But I thought it was interesting too that the Series X and S are overselling PS5 this year. What do you make of that? Is it like lack of stock?
Availability?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, Game Pass can't be, like, I don't know how much of those a couple hundred thousand more are availability versus, Game Pass either. So it's like, it's hard to know. But yeah, availability is one.
Until both are available, we probably won't know.
And one thing is the Xbox only became available here recently. So it's like, is that completely connected to it and stuff, which it does seem like it would be. But then you also see a lot of people who are, Game Pass has got a lot of like day ones. So it's very difficult to know. I mean, in the end, it doesn't matter because every year we have this discussion and there's thousands of caveats. So it's like, it just sort of is what it is. I would say that neither company's probably unhappy. You know, they're selling as many as they can. Xbox does sell out, but it becomes available far more quickly than PS5. Also, you have to wonder, I don't see any scalped Xboxes, but I see thousands of scalped PS5s. So it's how many are scalped as well that aren't selling or are being held onto to sell later. And we are talking about multiple thousands. So, yeah. But I mean, it's good for both. Nintendo, obviously, it's better for them, though. It's ridiculous. Like, it's to the point where it's just stupid.
In their little sandbox laughing at everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's, kudos that we got the OLED because that's definitely a plus, but it's ridiculous now. It's like, it goes to show that it's obvious that somebody's at their house with COVID. Maybe we thought all of them want to play on their couch. Maybe not. Maybe all of them want to play in their boxers in their bed. And a Switch is better. And I can tell you what, I was doing, speaking of like handhelds, I was doing streaming and I was playing X4 on my streaming from the PC. And I got to say, the one thing about mobile that they can't get right is there are no triggers on the back, right? So to fire, you have to take your finger off the thumb button, off the thumbstick, and stop moving to fire, which is very hard in a space game when you're following somebody. Because you have to sort of like go in front of them, fire, go in front of them, fire. And that's one thing where like a handheld Steam Deck does this and Switch where they have those controls inborn in the back. You've got your triggers, your current setups. So there's a positive there as well. I don't know, man. I'm just, I don't know what to say about Nintendo. Like it just doesn't, who's buying them? It's like GTA where you start looking at it going like,
exactly.
Who's buying, is the company buying their game? Like who's buying this? But it's GTA more so. But I mean, with Switch, I don't know. Anybody in chat? Speaking of that, we'll just ask chat. Anybody in chat? Has any of you guys got a Switch recently? Go ahead, Sober.
I mean, the immediate assumption is just families, right?
I mean, like
someone in chat already I saw said, yeah, we have three Switches at home, like for the family.
Wow.
Which makes is even sense. Weirder to me because that means somebody knows what the Switch does and doesn't offer and still bought another one. Not to diss on the Switch, but if I bought the Switch, I don't think I would be tantalized to buy another Switch ever. But maybe there's Animal Crossing is a multiplayer game, right? Maybe that's what we're...
Mario Party and all that stuff.
Also, Animal Crossing is a game where you can only have one proper island on a console. So for that game, you actually need several physical consoles.
Wait, so if you have a different account on one console, you can't have a different island?
No, you can only be a guest in the main island.
There's what if one, it's like a different account?
It's locked up.
Doesn't matter.
It's locked
Interesting.
up.
Interesting. That's weird.
This person says, I got a Switch like 2 years ago for $200. Another person says, two of them recently, so a total of four in their house. Total of four Switches. So there you go. I mean, somebody...
I got mine when it came out, basically.
I couldn't tell you where mine was. And that's not a joke, not even dissing on Nintendo. I have no clue.
All my consoles are right next to the TV, all of them. Like the issue of consoles.
The issue with mine is just like the Joy-Cons got fucked up and drift and shit.
Yeah,
I don't want to.
That is one negative, right? If you're carrying around all of the peripherals as one system, if something goes wrong, you know, you do end up.
Yeah, like especially the Switch Lite, it's not detachable, right?
Right.
So in percent, like just looking at that in percent, it's even more telling, I think, because 2021 Switch of total hardware sales of those three consoles, 58.5%.
Yeah.
Wow, man. I don't know, guys.
Yeah, and there was a big jump in 2020 compared to 2019.
Of course there was.
So that's probably pandemic related, yep. Right? That was almost 2x in sales.
I admit I was wrong. Yeah. I was telling people, you know, people are going to worry about saving money and stuff, and they're not going to want to spend as much. And instead, people have been
like...
I
gotta say, I think it's just the portability.
Fuck the future.
I think that's like the main thing.
But I mean, like, if they're not going to work,
it's not really portable.
You're not transporting. Where's the portability? Yeah.
On the shitter? Exactly, but maybe? It's still the fact that it's a portal. It's like
not true.
Everyone having PSPs.
Yeah,
everyone
no, you are
PSPs.
Right. You may not use it as that,
you
but it is
stay
that.
In bed and play it there.
Yeah.
That's, or it's that's like give the kid, you know, all of a sudden you have to deal with your kids while working at home.
And they don't
give
need
the kid
a TV.
A
true. True.
Yeah. Give the kid a Switch and, you know.
And they don't need, you don't need to buy them a TV.
Shit, if a parent's saying that.
You don't, yes, it is.
I'm
but you
sorry.
Don't need to buy them a TV. They don't take over the TV if you're watching something. There's like all this like shit. Right?
First of all, you didn't take over in my man, dude. In my day, my dad, you wouldn't take over the fucking television from my dad.
No,
you'd
can't.
Be mowing the lawn. He'd be like, "What the fuck? It's
get the fuck
tape
out
some
of here.
Tape some flashlights to lawnmower. You're mowing the lawn for even asking. Like, of course you wouldn't. So the idea of like, you know, getting and one of my friends is that way. His kids like they're not allowed TV at a certain point. They're you know they're pretty structured and stuff. But it's just like, Carrick obviously doesn't have kids. No, I didn't. I mean that I know of. Maybe some weird ones are running around. Yeah, who knows?
Yeah,
man. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
Like just a beard on legs.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's haunting. The idea of that is terrible. You have a very mean dad, Carrick. No, I got one who actually cared about me. He wanted to parent, not have the TV do it. He didn't want me to watch MASH and learn from MASH, even though MASH was an awesome show. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's great. It's good for them. Good for them that they're selling to someone out there. I just have no clue who it is. And it's Steam Deck's doing as well as it can. I'm sure they wish they could get way more out there because I bet you a lot of people would be doing Steam Deck versus, well, yeah. Some people I'm sure would rather do Steam Deck versus Switch, but I guess Switch is a console where Steam Deck, you still have a PC. You could still have PC issues overall, but MASH was fucking great. Somebody said, what else do we got?
So Abzi had a couple things there.
Go for it,
and
Abzi.
Reg had a couple things.
Well, I have multiple things. Oh, short side note. Modern, fucking hell, dude. They announced Modern Warfare 2, by the way, Call of Duty. So now you have Modern Warfare Remastered, then Modern Warfare, then Modern Warfare 2, then Modern Warfare 2 Remastered, then now Modern Warfare 2, which I thought was pretty funny.
No, I thought... What?
You want to go down there?
So I thought Modern Warfare... Are we talking about... What? Are we talking about the logo that they just did?
There's a new Modern Warfare, yeah. Modern Warfare 2.
No, that's Modern... But Modern Warfare 2's already been made.
Yeah, but now it's the new version of Modern Warfare 2, like the
remake. It's a remake. The name again.
Oh!
Like, they already remastered it, and now it's like a reboot because they started with a new Modern Warfare. So now they announced Modern Warfare 2. So now
it's a remake rather than a reboot or rather than a remaster. Right.
No, it's not even a remake. It's like the new it's like the new
it is a new game.
Sequel. It's a new
just
game.
Just with an
sequel
old name.
To the reboot.
It's a sequel to the reboot of Modern Warfare.
Wow.
With the same name?
Wow.
With the same name. So now there's like the original and remakes or remasters and then the reboot, which is So I just found that interesting. Do you want me to move on? I'll move on.
Yeah, no, move on.
and real news, Square Enix. Oh fuck, where is it? So Yuji Naka, who I'm guessing made Wonderworld or worked on Balan Wonderworld or started, is taking Square Enix to court because the game is unfinished.
No, he already took them to court
He took them to court. Okay. It's no longer in effect, I guess. But I guess he was the producer, or he started making the game, and then they went without him for like a year and a half, I believe.
It was the director, yeah.
It was the director, yeah. And they cut him out. I mean, that game was terrible. Have any of you tried it or looked at it?
No. No. Hell no.
No, yeah. But it is terrible. And he said that it was the reason why, like, he wasn't talking about it is because he was in court, yeah, at the time, yeah, suing him because of they wanted to release it when he was saying it wasn't ready. So it is what it is, man. The game launched. It's just not a good. I don't even know if ready makes sense, though. That was one of the things. You know, we'll never know. That's in the weeds. But it's like, would it, if it had been ready, would it have still been
that
good?
That is something that didn't really, really make sense.
Exactly.
With that article, because it said he was removed 6 months before the game launched. But from what I get, the state of the game, 6 months is not the
right
issue.
And so I like him, yeah, and but, I like his games, but I was like, that's a weird, it was just a weird thing overall. But that, it's just business.
I mean, at that point, presumably there had been a significant period of time before that, where there had been conflict and stuff, friction for the game not being ready up to that point. And then it culminated with him getting
ready. I guess what I'm saying is he is the producer, so some of that's on him, is what I was saying.
Yeah, right.
So I'm not even blaming him. I'm just saying it was just a weird article. I guess you can't really get too in-depth because it is a suing, you know, which they do lock a lot of the... So you'll never know all of this stuff.
It's still in progress, and we might never know afterwards even.
It just sucks. Long story short, I'm sure he didn't want a shitty game, and that's what we got. And I like him, because like he did Sega Knights, right? And Sega Knights is like one of my favorite games of all time, because I think in Balan's Wonderworld, one of the characters looks like the Knights character.
There were also some other... snippets in there that I found weird, at least, where he said, well, for example, with Sonic, I decided that one ring was enough to keep you alive like weeks before launch of the title. I was like, that's not exactly a selling point towards your competence.
Yeah,
that game was weird, man. Like, there was a power up that turned you into a box and you couldn't.
Yeah, there was a lot of really weird. It turned you into a box at random times. Because I even talked about that in one of my videos where I was like, disappointing games. And I believe that was one of them. And I was talking about this weird box thing. Like, there was just a lot of oddities in that. What else do you got?
Is that the only thing I linked? I think I linked something else. Let me check.
Anybody in chat? You got any topics? Any hot tops? You want us
We have some podcast questions, I would assume, right?
For sure.
Blizzard announced a new mobile game set in the Warcraft universe. So another... They announced that they will announce it. Join us for the reveal. Yeah, I guess so.
Mm-hmm. So reveal doesn't mean the game will be out, right? It's like...
Yeah.
But wait a minute. Is the Diablo mobile one out?
I thought it was, but apparently it
no, that's
isn't.
Coming June 5th, I think.
Oh, and there's Overwatch 2 as well. The beta started last week.
So they do have a mobile game that's definitely coming. That is the Diablo title that's coming, like I said, I believe June 5th to mobile. And on the same day, 2nd June apparently, Lucenden says, on the same day as open beta for PC. And on the 5th, like next week, they will announce what kind of Warcraft title they do for mobile.
Yeah, I think
people are like mostly talking about, from what I've seen, about some kind of pet battler.
Probably.
How the mighty have fallen. Right?
Yeah. Remember when it was like, oh, Blizzard made this. Okay, I'm buying it.
Yup. BioWare, though. I lived through the BioWare fall.
Of course.
When it was like BioWare. Yeah.
BioWare was like Obsidian, you know? They just, you know, just banger. Obsidian hasn't had a bad game yet. So please let them stay on that track.
Yeah, Obsidian's games have been pretty good overall, I think.
Like, I haven't encountered one that was subpar, to be honest.
Yeah, I guess I haven't.
I mean, Alpha Protocol.
I was going to say Alpha, but it was so old, Silver. I didn't want to mention that because Abzi probably wasn't playing games. No, you played Alpha Protocol. You were playing it. Age of discrimination here. I was trying to be nice.
Not that young.
Okay, so if we use that as their last bad game we remember, moving forward, I would say Obsidian has fairly well hit it.
But was it a bad game? Like, I thought it was a good
game. It had a lot of I loved it, but it had a lot of technical issues.
A lot of mechanics, not just technical, but like mechanics in that game that didn't work well.
I don't remember the mechanics as much because I was probably so in love with the RPG stuff. Yeah, the RPG reticle where you'd fire and it wouldn't hit because it was done by
I think I'm speaking in the sense of when it comes to RPG-ness, they you know, they hit it like the choices, everything.
I didn't even love the last one, Pillars, as much as I like Pillars 1, but Pillars 1 is better, they sort of know what they're doing, like those turn out to be good and people like them, and so it's like,
and Dungeon Siege 3 also
not so good. Was that Obsidian?
Yeah,
whoa, yeah. I would never in a million, a million monkeys and a million typewriters, I don't think would have ever put those two together. That's crazy.
I didn't think so.
Nuts. Yeah, I didn't. As the developer, they made that?
Yeah.
That was a bad game, by the way. Number 3. It was not good. Huh, interesting.
Is it like the thing where they took
developed
a sequel? Yeah. Or did they develop all three?
No, they did not.
They didn't make all three.
They did not make all three. They're just the third
one?
Sure. Okay.
They only the third one, yeah.
Interesting.
What else do we got for topics before we do go to questions? Anything?
We did, if we want to hit, like, kind of big news outside of gaming, just to get your take on it.
Do it.
Twitter got bought this week, it looks like, right? So we always have to see if it all kind of
allegedly
goes on because mergers are complex and all this stuff, but all the shareholders of Twitter got, you know, a premium on their stock, and it's now becoming private. Elon Musk secured funding to buy the whole thing. What do we think overall? A positive, let's put aside Elon Musk, because, you know, people are either like he's a hero or he's, you know,
he's zero.
The devil.
Yeah.
But like as a whole, my quick take on it is that opening up what is being done with the content to push it or to hide it is a positive. It's just objectively a positive thing, regardless of who is running the shindig. If we can see what is happening and you can look at the code, right? And you can go, oh, that's being boosted. We understand. That just helps the entire situation, I think, with misinformation.
He also wants a delete button. Wasn't he one of the ones that was like, dude, you just need to get with the times.
The edit?
Edit button, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to get with the times because without the edit button, we're getting all kinds of, and you know, we will have people who post something on purpose and then edit it later so that they have 1,000 responses on. They can say this game is amazing,
yeah,
and then a week later say this game is terrible, but they've edited it.
Oh, Cyberpunk!
Wow,
remember that?
Yeah, that was like that gutted the entire like where I was going.
Yeah.
But yes, that's exact. But yeah, wow, okay. I don't have anything to add after the
Cyberpunk.
Guys,
it's a 10 out of 10. I'm just kidding. It's a
6 out of 10. Change in your review. That's, you know, Twitter isn't really, I mean, I think they sort of like lifted Twitter up way beyond what it was. Like, I know it's powerful, but at some point now it's just chaff. It's like Facebook to me, where it's chaff now, where, you know, I use it to follow some people. Remember how Facebook used to be a thing and you might actually have like groups get together. Now it's just like, I'll see what my, you know, redneck cousin is doing. That's about it. And with Twitter, I'm doing the same thing. I was telling you guys prior to this that I couldn't figure out why I was sort of down one day. And I realized I had looked at Twitter and I'd seen all the people going after each other. And I was like, damn. And I just had to close it. So
yeah, Twitter's garbage.
Twitter's garbage, man. Twitter is just like, so the idea of letting people see what goes on is good, all that stuff. But I don't know if Twitter's coming back. I think somebody else, you know, there will always be somebody, a VR version of Twitter made by somebody else for, you know, AR headsets. That'll be a big thing or something. You know what I mean? There'll be some, there's always something else. Everybody thought MySpace would never be replaced, right? Like everything gets replaced. Yeah. So
true.
Twitter will get replaced by something. Him buying it, I don't know why he bought it. Ignoring Musk, if any millionaire bought it, the only reason I would assume they would buy it would be to do exactly where they believe in opening it up, because otherwise, yep, as a purchase, it's like, you're not going to use it what to further yourself. There'll be a ton of issues if you, he already does that on his own. So it's like, what exactly would you buy it for? The idea of opening it up, making sure that you have edit button, delete button. Man, if he could fix the back end, because I'm telling you, their CSR, their customer support is balls. It's terrible. It's probably Twitch level bad. So those kind of things could be fixed.
I remember also their embedding was pretty bad too.
Their embedding's always been janky, and it crops its own things the way it wants, and there's all those kind of things. I just don't use it as much anymore, man. I've noticed I just go into the Discord, and I just stay away from TikTok. Surpass Twitter. Oh, TikTok is even worse. TikTok is quite literally just dancing. It's so weird. Every time I go, well, not just, but you get my drift.
Most of it is like following trends.
Yeah.
So like,
and
someone
a lot of times I'll go there and just be like, I have no clue what I know what I'm seeing, but I don't know why I care.
You got super cringe content, but I think there are some funny shit there for sure. But
well, there can be funny shit anywhere though.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just saying
smaller shit on my plate doesn't change the fact that there's shit on my plate, right?
Right. It's still going to infect the other food. What were you saying, Johnny?
Well, the trend on TikTok that I saw that annoyed me was really young people reinventing the wheel for different things, like finding new solutions for problems that have already been solved. They're like drinking water in a weird way. Like, bro, we got glasses. Like, the problem has been solved.
There's that one TikTok that I don't know if you've seen, the one TikTok that teases all that, where the black guy who would just grab the cup and drink it, and it'll be like,
yeah, it's like,
and that's the way everybody feels. But I think even the people who see those, but I do remember Bill Burr having the hilarious comment where he was saying that people somehow figured out that flipping a bottle of water and having it land is like magic. And it's like, that is so funny, because it's the same thing with game trailers, and yes, I'm going to bring it up, but when I see people crying or flipping out because they see a starship, I'm always like, are we really flipping out? Because if we are, then something is genuinely wrong with me. Like, something chemically, I've been neutered, because that is not what it takes to get me, like, over the moon about something. And you do see that on TikTok. But I think a lot of it's just also the, you know, people react that way because they see other people react that way.
Right.
You know, where maybe it's not necessarily real. I don't know. It's just interesting. Yeah. Oh, whoa. Chris says, man, I've had a good experience with Twitter so far. Facebook is the one that's super depressing and negative. Maybe my algorithm just hasn't got me yet or something.
Well, Facebook is just, dude, Facebook is like 4chan now, dude. That's like.
True that, for sure. What were you saying, Silver? Sorry, I interrupted you.
Just, I mean, for my part, it's less to do with, it's not really Musk specifically. It's more an aversion that any single person has, that the amount of consolidated power to be able to effectively change the media landscape overnight, because it feels like it.
Well, Twitter already had that with their owner. I mean, did you feel that way with their original owner?
Yeah.
Yes.
But
I
you'd rather have it be like a group?
With any consolidation of power, yes. Yeah. And so
the Illuminati of Twitter.
And I particularly find it humorous that Musk chooses to frame it as a salvation of free speech in a healthy democracy, when the consolidation of power into one person to that extent is exactly not a sign of a healthy democracy.
I agree with you, but just from a programming standpoint, you know, if we can see the code, it doesn't matter if Elon Musk owns it. We can see what is happening, right? Like,
right. What
I can see that.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a universal negative.
So I'm just saying there's still a big positive to that, regardless.
The free speech argument just never, like, it doesn't make sense, because Twitter is privately owned, or was, or whatever. And they can ban whoever the fuck they want.
It also doesn't make sense as a social platform. I mean, I saw an interview with Musk where they actually pressed him on what sort of speech would get banned potentially on Twitter, and he couldn't answer it. Like, he was awing and umming pretty much.
But wouldn't you want somebody who can't answer that quickly?
The entire thing. And then he ultimately said that if there was ever any doubt, then the content shouldn't be deleted, he felt. And of course, we've all seen throughout the history of the internet that unmoderated social platforms have been a guaranteed success, right?
But over-moderated has also been a disaster.
Yeah, I think it's...
You can't win.
The reality is it's a difficult problem. And I'm almost with Carrick on this one. I want someone who struggles with that. And, you know, he's thinking about the problem. He doesn't have all the answers yet. But at least he's being quite transparent in, you know, how...
Yeah, because I guess I just didn't feel Twitter ever was. Like right, that was exactly. It was like the Illuminati
of Twitter.
Twitter
bans, etc. So far, yeah.
Oh, dude,
like,
it's shady.
They just throw
it's
art at the dartboard.
In a way, you could say the same thing about, you know, to get that's it onto it. Games. You could say the same thing about Twitch, their bans, YouTube. YouTube, for sure, the Illuminati of YouTube. You never know what YouTube is doing. How much do we need to know? How much are you owed? I do think people think they're owed a lot where they're not, too. Yeah. So, like, somebody is using some free service or whatever. It's like, you're not owed any, like, you're not. You know, if that's what they've chosen to say is you just use it and we'll do whatever we want. That's you're buying into that. That's on you. But right now we've got to the point to where people also just become so socially beklempt with any of that. They're like, no, you need to tell us everything. And then somehow that gets turned into a bad thing. And you can't really win on this. Twitter's just a junkyard no matter who owns it. That's the you would have to make a new one. You would have to make and even then it would get misused. Because humans misuse shit. That's in a weird way. If we weren't, I would be nervous.
Like Twitter is already a cesspool. And if you pledge to like even remove fewer people in the name of free speech from that cesspool, it's only going to get worse.
Yeah. Because the cesspool is us. Yeah. Like we like to pretend that the shit's what we leave, but we are the shit. Like, we're using it, and the moment we enter the equation, everything goes to hell, you know, in a handbasket. It's just, it's.
I should make clear, though, I don't particularly care about Twitter. I don't have a Twitter
account. No, I know. But I mean, you can still talk. I mean,
when they started doing the whole where they wouldn't allow you to browse Twitter anymore without obnoxiously telling you, you make a Twitter account. That was the point I really started to stop engaging with Twitter on any level.
Dude, Reddit is almost as bad, like, because they got bought by whatever Chinese company and stuff. And you'll see shit that, like, is really questionable on being deleted. You'd be like, why is that being deleted? Stuff where you're like, this feels like some overarching group is looking at this. And, I mean, I can speak towards that at least a little bit, that some of the Chinese companies that have contacted me, the things that they say are stuff that... a Western or even most other nations would not say in their communiques, like on what you can and can't do. And it's obvious that's the way they run their entire, you know, the entire nation's ran that way. So it can't be too unexpected, but Reddit's got that way as well. I think they're all that way, right? Telegram is probably, I have an account on Telegram. It's a little bit weird. It's much more positive because I can choose what I get. Where like Twitter, I'll say, okay, I don't want to see this tweet, these kind of tweets, whatever. It doesn't matter. I still get them. You know what I mean? It's almost like a Steam search where you're like, I want a Dark Souls game. And OBS is quite literally number 3 when you search for Dark Souls games. You're like, OBS, the streaming service. How did that happen? So Telegram's a little better. Telegram has some good stuff. But I mean, how do you fix all this? There isn't like... Discord is how I felt we fixed it.
Yeah, it's all trade-offs.
But I felt we fixed it with our Discord thing. Oh, by the way, there was another super chat. There was two more, and I missed one. I apologized. Will says, $10 super chat, supporting the channel, Back for Blood DLC, pretty badass. Thank you very much for pointing that out, because I am going to jump into that. Produce the Game Gains wants to know what is our favorite Game Pass game right now. And then $50 super chat from DCRU Seeds, just dropping by to say what's up and support the podcast. Have a great day. Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it. You rock. Thank you for the super chat, everybody. Favorite Game Pass game?
There's a lot.
Crusader Kings. I think that's why somebody said Carrick was going to say Crusader Kings. I think
Kings 3 is a really good one.
Psychonauts 2.
I mean, there's Outer Worlds on there. There's
Psychonauts 2 is on there.
Yeah.
There's a lot on there. I mean, it's hard to...
A lot
to...
of good ones, dude.
There's Nier Automata. I mean, there's a lot.
Dude, there is Nier Automata's in Game Pass?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
Damn, son. That's why your Xbox is selling more. That's ridiculous, man. That's ridiculous. Yeah. There's a lot. Somebody said, ding, ding, 'twas me. They knew that I would say Crusader Kings. Yeah, I mean, Crusader Kings. Yeah. Come on.
Wasteland 3 is a really fucking good one.
Wasteland 3 works pretty Warhammer good on streaming, well. Too. Warhammer. Yes. That's true.
Yeah. Weird West. Yeah, there's Jesus.
Dude, it's crazy. Tactics. It's such a... What'd you say, bud?
Gears Tactics and the one I played recently with Johnny, Nobody Saves the World, also a great game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a funny game. We gotta get back to that.
Dude.
That's good.
It's so fucking magical, man. It's so, I mean, we can all bitch because there are things to bitch, but at the end of the day, I think we always talk about Game Pass because it's just like...
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff to jump to.
Yeah, and the thing is you can jump into 4 or 5 games and pay for
Low
Game Pass.
Low friction, right? Because you're like, oh, I'm in the mood for this, boom.
You know what I saw some people saying, though? And I don't agree with this as much. Andy said this, I think. And I didn't really pick up on what he was saying until I was looking back at the video. He was saying that sometimes on Game Pass, you know, he'll open up a game and that he might not have bought, right? And he'll play it and it'll be just okay, so he'll turn it off. I have found the opposite. I've played a lot of mediocre games now because of Game Pass and played them a lot. City of Gangsters or whatever, the John Romero crime gang one. I've played so many hours of that game, a game that I probably would have never looked at ever. And I mean, yeah. I'm not saying I got the most hours in that game, but I got a lot of hours in that game. Elite. I streamed that. I don't know if that's free on Xbox Game Pass, but there's a lot of games on Game Pass that the mediocre ones I play more because there's no... My invest time is important, but sometimes you don't... This is going to sound really weird. Bear with me. Sometimes I don't want a game that's going to grab me. I want a game that's going to entertain me.
Oh, you want a casual... One,
but I don't
want to
say casual
stand.
Because some people will think that means a casual game, but the buy-in is casual. Yeah.
Yeah.
Empire of Sin.
Yeah.
Thank you, Steven. Empire of Sin, which by the way, I think is awesome. But again, I'm playing on Game Pass. So
I get you, dude.
I think
I think they also fixed
a bunch of stuff. I think it had a problematic launch.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Understand. That makes sense. Yeah. What were you gonna say, Johnny?
Cause I played that game where, you're just unpacking shit. Literally, the game is like a point
and
click.
Is it called Unpacking?
I love Unpacking.
Unpacking. We talked about it, right?
Yeah.
I chilled for 2 hours playing that and never came back to it. And it was great. It was a great 2 hours. You know, there's something to be said about that.
And not only that, Johnny, this is where I think the magic exists. It's not the AAA. It's not the casual. It's not the shit games. It's a game where maybe you like an idea, so it informs you on the next discussion about games. And what I'm hoping is that devs are playing some mediocre games have a good mechanic in them, like an awesome mechanic. But you're like, oh, this game. And we've talked about this hundreds of times. There's games that have some good mechanic, but the game itself, we're like, that didn't really, it's not a very good game. So people in the past had a tendency to look over it. Me, I'm like, this is a B game. It's not great. I'm just sort of into it. It's entertaining me. And then I'll see something awesome in it, like an idea. And I'll be like, oh, man. I hope that's it. For example, Elix with jetpacks. I was like, that needs to be in all
or
games.
Watch Dogs Legion.
Watch Dogs Legion. Godlike Burger from last week is an example of that as well.
Where it's got a system. Or that entire game was surprising to me. Like the entire idea of the game, once you started reading it, was surprising. But yeah. X Initiative, $5 Super Chat. Do you guys think Game Pass should have its own rating system? Unique
what does
to
that
the
mean?
Service. Oh, I think he means like stars or so, but does it not
to like push games to the top? Kind of.
I think it's already got stars.
It does, it does have system or...
Yeah.
I'm not sure what. Like.
So right now it does it based on popularity, right? It kind of
does
it has like a featured or like most.
So
popular.
It goes on like downloads or something, because that's another thing. What's popular? Downloads or playtime? Obviously, to me, playtime. Right.
Right.
I don't think that's how everybody goes. Because we'll see it even with announcements. We had 300,000 unique downloads. Okay, but you have 5 people playing it. So what the fuck does that mean? You know,
Yeah.
It's weird though with the star system, because you'd be like, you'd see a really good game and it has like 2 stars, but it's only like 3 people voted for that. It's weird. I think
that's because their rating is like country based. Like you only see the ratings for your country.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, that makes sense too, because some games remove questionable content where they are. Germany removed like swastikas. Not that that should stop you from enjoying the game if they're in there or not, but some things may have censorship or something. That makes sense. The other thing is games are increasing. This is Eternal said. The other thing is games are increasingly releasing, especially buggy. Yeah, we've talked about that. We talked about that at the starting. I totally. Games are definitely. Well, or maybe there's just more games. I mean, I had buggy games when I played on the Apple II.
Yeah, buggy games. I mean, I think there is a very much a rose tinted glasses to that.
I do too. And also just the amount of people playing, because I might have been the only person in class playing a video game at that point, where now the entire class is playing, right? Yeah. So you do have just sheer mass. Same thing with Steam. We always, somebody will say there's not any good games out, and we'll be like, go to Steam and look at one day. And, you know, you're going to see a boat. They're not going to all be good, but you're going to see a boatload.
And come back in a couple hours after you look through the list.
And you'll see another full page in front of that. Yeah. I mean, we had Adam, I can't remember his last name, but he came on. He did The Killing, which was that point and click. One of the first game developers we had on. I don't even think he's in the business anymore. You know, the game didn't do amazing, but it did okay. You know, like those type of games, there's so many of them you can find on Steam or on Game Pass now. Game Pass less. Game Pass, I think, even though it's still a huge library, it's nowhere near. Their total games on Game Pass is not equal, by the way, to 1 week of new releases on Steam.
Holy shit. No.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that? Yeah.
That puts nuts. Stuff in perspective.
That puts shit in perspective.
So many games all the time. It's
and
crazy.
Itch.io, if you're you know, swinging dangerous, because Itch.io has some really good games that are
Itch.io
like...
Itch.io has everything. 99 like it has cents. The same games that are on Steam, etc., but also like...
Its own shit.
Random stuff. Yeah.
I mean, Do you guys remember when the dam really broke? I think that was between like 2016 and 17, when we had in 1 year more games came out on Steam than throughout Steam's entire history.
History, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now we're getting that like monthly if you go back a couple years.
Yeah, last year on Steam, Steam saw 10,696 new games.
So the question...
That's like your library, right, Reg?
That's like five times.
That's
my
five
library.
Times his library. Listen to this. Abbreviated. This is Indio. He says it's amazing with so many games being made and released. People can still find success. That is true too. That somebody like, and you'll see a game that gets amazing positives, like reviews, and I'll go back and look at it and be like, this game was awesome, and you know, it obviously didn't sell at all, and you're just like, damn, you know, that happens too. There's just not enough money. There's not enough money and enough eyes on. For a lot of games, you know, even from my standpoint, I could cover, imagine how many games you could cover in 1 month. Okay. Let's say you looked at Steam and you took the top 10%, by the way, of Steam games in 1 month, it would still be more reviews than I've ever done in my life. Times two.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's, I mean, it's unbelievable. Dej says that's the number of hours Reg has in Lost Ark. 2000.
Yeah, I was just gonna type a reply and say not yet, come back in a month.
Yeah,
but all right.
TJ asked a good question. Do you guys think Spartacus will compete? Spartacus, by the way, is the code name
subscription for
PS Plus now.
But are they doing the same?
I don't think they will, because their system that they have currently is bad. Like, now that I've started
like
to look at the tiers,
tiers and shit.
And they've stopped stopped the tiers from being able to be stacked, too. Sorry, I just wanted to get that out. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The one thing that they are adding on, like, the Sony side to the most expensive tier, apparently, is compulsory 2-hour trials for all games.
I saw that.
Cost more than $34.
Yeah.
So, like, you can't, as a developer, opt out of that or something. If you charge more than $34, your game has a 2-hour trial, and that's that.
But those trials are only available for the premium level of...
That is the part that sucks. Yeah.
Dude, it's like...
That should be just...
Yeah, I mean, 2-hour trial would be very much pro-consumer, I think, because you can't just try the game.
But
it's like the no-money-down version of Steam refunds, I guess. Or how many people use Steam refunds. It's not meant like that, but people use it like that. But it's only in the most expensive tier, and that sucks.
It's what we said. Everything that they're doing feels like it's spur of the moment. They're like $34 even is spur of the moment. Any game under 35 or 30, you're like, what? What? How did somebody come up with that arbitrary price? Like, that's such an arbitrary, because most games are $49.99, $39.99. You know, they're not in that $5 range that we see very often. So there's that. Opting everybody into the demos, I like the idea of, but ignoring the extra work. So what I'm saying is, I like the idea of it. That's it. I'm not saying I like the devs, you know, some devs who it's just two or three people are going to have to figure out how to make a demo. I'm not saying that that's good. I'm just saying that I really like the idea of it. But it is really odd that they're making it all just be the premium tier. They're just trying to sell the tiers.
Yeah. Like,
yep. Well, that, and they don't give any like tier revenue share or something to the developer. Like, people, you played your demo or something, you get money for it. Nah, it's all just Sony keeping it.
Really? Yep. Oh, for some reason, I thought they'd change that. See ya, Butterfly. Interesting. Yeah. So,
well,
I mean,
unless I missed that update.
No, you're probably right, because I don't think, I, as far as I know, I don't think others do. Surf, $5 super chat. If Steam ever goes the Game Pass route, do you think they would open up the service to all the hentai puzzle game devs? First of all,
I hope so.
First of all, that Steam price would be outrageous. It would have to be thousands of dollars a month. It would make no sense to be like,
like every game on Steam to be,
dude, yeah, can you imagine that? Every game on Steam,
someone binging all the hentai games in like 1 week.
Yeah, if they were to do a Game Pass thing, they would have that separate. Like, I don't see them. Yeah,
are hentai games illegal on Steam? Is that what it is?
No.
Okay,
they're legal.
Because Escort was on Banging Simulator was there. So I was trying to.
There's a lot of NSFW games.
Pretty much everything is on there now.
What do they stop?
Well, there was, I think, a couple games where, you know, too violent for
terrorism based or whatever
stuff like that.
There was one I played a long time ago.
All Calls for Violence.
There was also some rapey game. There were some rapey games.
Yeah. Like rape play like and that. Shit like that. Like,
I'm not laughing at rape. I'm laughing at how that's a genre. Rapey games. Yeah. Wow.
Yikes.
Like, where are we in the world when that's a... And
I mean,
it is.
Remember RayPlay back in the day? Like, when RayPlay came out and...
Was that a game?
It's like
on
a
Steam?
Japanese...
Yeah, no, I didn't...
Literally...
That is a Japanese
Dude,
game
that's
because
so
that is a genre that is legal in Japan.
Yeah,
I know,
You have to sexually harass people in that game.
Okay,
but yeah, that would obviously not fly. There was another one where literally all you had to do was kill innocent people. Like with guns, and it was like,
oh, Mr. Violent. Agent brought something up, which I don't agree with, by the way. He said Super Seducer was removed, and that game,
well, also
that bothers me that was removed, because that game was like a social dynamic game that was different than
what
we're
talking
about.
I don't know why that would be removed.
That bothered me, because I remember reading that going like, what are we doing here? Go ahead, Reg, what were you gonna say?
I was just gonna say that someone in chat mentioned NFT games also just like a generally not on allowed on Steam. Like,
so with NFT games, if your game has NFTs, you're not allowed.
Yeah.
So did Breakpoint ever on Steam?
Breakpoint,
Ubisoft's Breakpoint, because that
had
digits on the side of your helmet. Okay, gotcha.
Didn't that release after Ubisoft went together?
I think
with
it did
for new games.
So here's the thing, then. That will stop Ubisoft games from going on Steam if they put NFTs in it.
True that.
True.
That is going to be...
not that they're currently planning on doing it anyway.
Do they have games on Steam still?
Yeah,
no longer.
They're not releasing on Steam.
So they're foregoing... That's how much... By the way, that's another thing. Ubisoft believes in whatever their plan is so much that they're foregoing the entire Steam marketplace.
Yeah,
crazy.
And I'm telling you guys, this is what I was talking to developers who were like, their producers were saying, we will put NFTs in the game regardless if every person who's currently playing it stops, because NFTs are worth so much money that that's what we were hearing. So that makes sense. And if you see Ubisoft doing something like this where they're not going in, Gaming Addict, $2 super chat. What's up, guys? Hit that like button. Thank you very much. Check out his podcast coming up Sunday. I don't know who you guys have on. Not me. At least I wasn't invited, but it's cool. I don't cry myself to sleep. You guys can watch their podcast if you want. It won't have Carrick in it. Gaming Iron Lords podcast. Very good podcast. I mean, without me, not as good. Maybe a solid 6.
I'll tell you what. Wait, it also won't have. Me.
Johnny?
An existential quandary.
Oh, God.
That I have for you today,
let's
Carrick.
Do it.
Are you ready?
Oh, yes. No.
Let's do this shit. Let's go. Existential quandary. I need to have a music.
Jingle, jingle.
Yeah, I need to. I'm going to make one. Oh, go God. For it.
If you could, assuming we live in a deterministic universe, okay? So even if you know the future, you can't change it. If you could know exactly the date and manner of your death, would you choose to know or
fuck
not?
No.
Nope.
Yeah, no.
Easy no.
Hard nose from the guy.
It's like me. I don't like knowing when the game will add. I don't like knowing how many seasons there are in a show. I just don't like knowing when the final thing is gonna happen.
Wouldn't it give you some relief to be like, you know, it will be fine until then? Like, I don't have to worry about anything until then. Like,
no. If anything, it would completely remove the spice of life, as it were.
Yeah.
I don't know if it would, dude. I think I could chill with that.
But here's the thing. So I find out in 30 days I'm going to die, right?
Okay, that's a rough one.
No,
right?
Yeah. No, let's say I find out in 30 days I'm going to be eating pork rinds and I'm going to choke on one. Here's my question to you. If it's a deterministic universe, then anything anything I do up until that point, including overreacting to my upcoming death, would have already been determined.
True.
So
yes,
I would want to know then. And here's why. Because to me, that would fit. Like, if I'm asked the question, I would say yes. They would tell me the date and I would just overreact in life and do everything that, you know, not that laws would stop you from doing, but you get my drift.
Right,
up until point, because I would know that day I would die. But that seems more of because that would already be determined. If I said yes, that's the determination right there. If I say no, that's
kind of like a paradox in a way.
It is a bit of a paradox because
it is.
Would all the overreaction already be determined? Then if it was, I would still say yes, because here's the thing. When you ask the question, the determination can't be the same. Because you're asking a question and I'm answering without the data. The moment I answer, now I have the data. And that means it would change. It might not change the way I got there, but I would assume that yes or no, I would get there anyway. So I would choose the yes and just go nuts, because I would still know that somehow I'd choke on. Even if I had no pork rinds near me and I was in the ocean, somehow a pork rind would fly into my face and choke me. I'd be like, I might as well enjoy it instead of being surprised.
Yeah.
I would tell my family, hey, I'm going to die. You know, my dogs. Continue this discussion. I'll be right back.
I think you could frame it as removing some of the uncertainty and anxiety.
It would add anxiety to me.
Yeah, I'd be like,
well,
I'm counting down the
days. Well, if it's far enough, okay, let's assume. Hold on.
It's pretty easy. My argument is this. I would say no, I wouldn't want to know. Because then you can always keep pretending that it's far, far away. Like, you don't know. It could be tomorrow.
What if it is, though? Right?
But you ignore it all the time and you say, whatever. It's tomorrow. Tomorrow me's problem all the time.
I see what you mean.
That's what you'd say? It's tomorrow.
Yeah, I like living.
Yeah, you wouldn't wash. You wouldn't, you know, you just, you'd do whatever. Which I don't know. That's a weird question.
I think I could chill with that. I could chill knowing the
date. Like, me going to die isn't in my head every day. Like, I don't think, I'm going to die at some point because.
Yeah, but if you would know, like, you would mark it on your calendar, you would probably start counting down the days.
Yeah, but if it's like 30 years from now, Reg,
it would short suddenly be the focus of what.
Yeah, whatever you're doing.
Which then, in the end,
becomes deterministic of you getting there.
You might also go like, I'm not going to die until like 40 years from now. So that means I don't have to take that good care of myself. And then you sort of.
Yeah, because you'd be like, I made it 40 years somehow, so let's eat Oreos.
That's
the way I'd be. I'd be like, it's Oreo time.
And then you end up, lasting the 40 years, but maybe there's a whole bunch of like health problems that arise.
Your legs are chopped off.
Even though you survive. You're like a dog in that game he was talking about. No legs, no arms, just rolling around to get your food. Here's the thing.
I mean, to me, the mystery is part of what imbues value to life. The uncertainty. Yeah.
I would say that would be true if I thought about it, but I don't care about the mystery. Like, I think it also depends on if you faced it when you were younger or not. Because I have, and so my thought process is probably different than somebody who hasn't. So like, I've been like, all right, could have died. Does that change, you know, because that's also changed my life after that. So it's like...
I like great Apes addition in chat to that. Yeah, and coma the last 22 years.
No shit. Yeah. But see, that again is determinist. Like... Yeah. What I was saying was, if you could choose how to die, and a lot of people would say die in their sleep, and I legit am saying I don't agree with that. Just see people say, if I could choose a way to die, I want to die in like the spectacular way where cracked articles are written about you. Where people are like, this dude died.
Really?
Yeah, like you're in a fucking airplane, it crashes, it's on fire, you hit the water, shark gets a warm meal. That would be an amazing death. That would be a death where people were like, this guy lived all the way to hit the bottom, he was in his little inflatable thing, it was on fire, shark got a warm meal. That would be awesome. Instead of like, you go to sleep and you die.
So you would prefer a cool death. Like an excruciating.
Well, I'm not saying he gnaws on me, but he could chop my head off with one bite. That's pretty much the end. Okay. But the idea of like dying, I see a lot of people say I want to die when I go to sleep, and the idea of that sleep as a joke, you know, some people will call it the mini death. Orgasms also calls that, but sleep's already that in a way. You go to sleep and you are, at least for a while, there's nothing there.
Yeah, the lights are off.
So lights could be off, and you'll never wake up. That's just it. I sort of want something where, I guess it doesn't matter because once you die, you're gone. Yeah.
What's that saying? You don't go into the night gently. I butchered it. So
don't go gently into that good night.
Into the good night. That's the one.
But here's the thing. Well, that's true. That is true. And also, the reason why I think I might want to know when I would die is because I probably would try to help more. So let me give you an example. I do a lot of donations to like dog shelters and stuff like that. Mm. And to Ukraine, I've done some donating. The idea of if I knew I was going to die tomorrow, well, then I could donate everything to the, you know, without the government getting involved with my will and shit. Like, because they do. Yeah. They and if you don't have a will, it's a disaster. Like, you need to have a will, like, the day you're able to sign one, because if you don't, in some nations, that shit just never gets taken care of. So I do think of that sometimes, like where I would want my money to go. It's not a lot, but that would be sort of a cool way to die, to know that you were given all of your stuff away. I suppose you could do that in a will anyway, but you never know. If you write a will 20 years from now, you never know like what organizations would be around and stuff.
I like it. Good answers. We have some questions. You want to hit
some
questions?
Yeah, go for it. Let's do it quick.
Yeah. Okay, let's hit this one from... I think it's Winter, but has weird characters in the name.
It is. Same thing happens every time I read his name.
Winter says, Dune Spice Wars preview of Early Access? ? I normally don't like Early Access, but it's Dune, so... do you guys have thoughts? Are you excited?
Red just played a bit.
Yeah, but really only so little bit that I'm not going to say anything about it. It's really too short.
There you go.
Don't care about Dune or anything.
Wow. Just don't give a fuck.
The only thing I can just say, I tried it on Steam Deck, and in OpenGL mode, it works fine on there. In DirectX mode, not so much. But that's the only technical thing I'm going to say about it.
Copy that.
I am looking forward to it, but I'm probably waiting until it gets a little further, either further into early access or released into full build.
And this was on RTS, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, correct.
Yeah, so remember like we talked about
like
Halo?
The original Dune RTS, I think.
Okay. Like I compared the Halo show to a McDonald's salad. This to me is that. I don't want from Dune an RTS, if that makes sense. I would like something that has the world building and
funny
more
enough,
RPG.
That bothered me. Does also, the animations for guys dying and stuff is really jank. There's a lot of, because it is early access. That's why I'm not reviewing it or previewing it. But I agree with you that Dune is pretty heavy, and I would like a heavier game, whether that be an RPG.
I love Dune.
Almost more like a visual novel game.
Even that would be cool.
Or an RPG or something like that. Yeah.
What were you saying, Reg? About
Dune 2000 I loved back then.
Yeah.
Like that also was an RTS.
It could be dope, though. Yeah, because they have, you know, cool.
Yeah, I mean, the original Dune was basically the building block for Command & Conquer.
Pretty much. Yeah, exactly. But just going to be honest, I feel that this game plays like that game. And that's why it's pretty basic.
Rough.
It hasn't moved anywhere.
It didn't feel like it had. Yeah.
Yeah.
What else we got, Johnny?
This question from Spooner. What shows, if any, have you guys been watching? Just finished Tokyo Vice and Arcane. On the hunt for something new. What do you got, guys?
Been watching The Orville.
Last thing I watched was Ranking of Kings.
Cartoon?
Okay. My last one.
Cartoon? Is that a cartoon?
Anime, yeah.
Sorry. Crunchyroll. And then Abzi said he's doing
Orville. Well, it is Japanese cartoon, so yeah.
Anything from you, Silver? Are you doing any?
Second season of Better Call Saul. Fifth season, sorry. Of
Better Call Saul.
I loved the ending. The ending of 4 was great, man. The ending of 4 was really cool.
So I'm doing Better Call Saul as well. Love that show. I'm doing Moon Knight, which is also cool. I don't know if... Are you guys seeing that one?
Watching I will. One? I just haven't yet.
Well, yeah. Not bad. And I also finished the anime called Tower of God, which was excellent. So if people want some anime...
Are there dubs or is it subs?
I watched it with subs.
But are there dubs is what I'm asking.
I think there are. Okay. Yes.
I might check it out.
It's one of those where they're climbing the tower, and if they get to the top, there is an amazing... reward,
like the Tower
right?
of Babel.
Like they become some kind of god or whatever they want, this type of thing. And they're all like killing each other to get to the
top. I've been doing Rookie, which is, you know, just laid back Nathan Fillion.
With Nathan.
Yeah. It's got really PC. I'm not even a person who really has an issue with something becoming super PC because I think there's a big difference between PC and woke. A lot of people will be like, it's woke. And you'll be like, nah, not even close. Like there's true craziness, and then there's just PC. It's become pretty PC. I was watching The Good Doctor, which I really liked. It's also become really, like, I guess mired in current wording sometimes, where you're like, dude, seriously, we get it. Like, we get it. Where it loses its base of whatever storyline because it wants to, like, talk about this one thing. They did it with COVID, and it didn't work out, so it's not just political stuff I'm talking about. It's just current day sometimes. You're like, I don't know.
They did it with Brooklyn Nine-Nine the last season.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine was pretty, it was pretty rough.
The cop, like ACAB stuff.
So I've been watching older stuff. We're rewatching Castle, which has been highly enjoyable. Yeah,
nice. Yeah,
yeah. Just rewatching
a comfort show.
Yeah, nothing deep. I'll probably watch a cartoon or two that you guys suggest, with some dubs, because I've been in the mood for that. But I haven't really found anything that's caught my interest, and then. Things are costing so much for streams that I've been sort of paring down who I have.
Yep.
So it actually has sort of cut a couple shows out, which sucks, but them's the breaks.
Okay, dude, there's one I think you're going to love, Carrick. That, have you seen this one where the main dude is a lizard guy? So his head is like the head of a lizard.
Is this a real
Doro Hedoro?
Yeah,
Doro
Hedoro. Somebody
Hedoro, like this written in chat. Doro Hedoro. And this, so it's a lizard guy, but there's something about the aesthetic and the world in that show. It's almost like a Borderlands vibe with the like kind of crazy. But dude, I think you would actually like
that. I'll
check
it out. And
that has also English voicing.
Okay.
It's fucked up.
And that one is on Netflix. Cause it might be easier to watch.
Yeah, I stopped.
The world is cool. Like the ideas they have is pretty cool.
Yeah.
What else we got for question?
This one from Bastard of Picard. Hey guys, I recently stumbled across an indie title that seemed to mix 90s survival horror game mechanics, i.e., tank controls, resource management, puzzles, etc., in a roguelike format.
What?
It probably means roguelite.
Oh, shut up.
I'm not going to go there. Which I found to be really interesting in concept. What would be an atypical combination of genres you would
Wait. He didn't tell us the name. He got me all hot and bothered. He didn't tell us the name of the game.
He didn't tell us the name.
Dude, who is that?
Bastard of Picard.
You're in deep shit, Bastard of Picard. You don't ever... That is... Man, that's a tub and... That's like a tug and run kind of thing. That's
like... Yeah, because he had us with the hook of 90s survival
horror. He did.
Horror.
And I was like bought into that. And then he didn't even say the name of it. So...
I'm tagging him and asking him.
You should ask him what it is.
Yeah.
That sort of pisses me off because like he was selling it. Damn it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Damn it. Yeah. Okay. So what's an atypical combination of genres we would be interested in seeing attempted? Or an example of a combination that was attempted.
I mean, I think we've talked about mixing genres
tactics,
so much.
Right? This kind of stuff. Yeah.
I don't really have any. I mean, not to diss on him because he.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything recent. But... Yeah, I'm trying to think if something recently.
Yeah, I mean,
popped up.
Because we've talked about this so many times with like the mixtures of stuff that there's not really. I mean, if he were to have, for instance, given an example of the game he was talking about, it may have informed the discussion.
I want to know that game.
Still
I need it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the indie games of the week we've had the last 2 weeks with Godlike Burger and Bubble Dogs have both been really interesting sort of blends of multiple genres into one. Where with Godlike Burger, you had like Overcooked kind of Hitman type gameplay as well, where you have to like cover up murders. And with the Bubble Dogs, you have like Spore mixed with like a pet, typical pet simulator. And yeah.
I would love like an immersive sim roguelike. You know, like each time you think of new combinations or new ways or have a social aspect. Maybe it's been done. I don't know. But I feel like that would be dope.
Yeah, I could see that.
I mean, I would like a racing RPG.
Interesting.
But I think that F1's gotten close a couple times with career modes and stuff. But I'm talking about like a amateur racing circuit, level up, get character points and coolness so your hands don't shake on the, you know. But a lot of games have already sort of come close.
Tried that. I mean, Toka Touring Car.
Yeah, Toka Touring Car is actually one of my favorite games. That is sort of what I'm talking about. Yeah. And Toka went away. I don't know if Toka has gone away as a thing and that's why it went away, but Toka was a great racing series. And Codemasters as well, right? Toka's Codemasters, is it not?
I think it was.
I think it was. Yeah, Toka is, that's funny you mentioned that. That is actually the game in my head I was talking about. But even more RPG. Like, I love the idea of putting that team together, you know, the payoff, but not the shit graphics that we see in a lot of these management games. Where they'll be like, manage a soccer team, and it's just two dudes, stick dudes running around. Mm-hmm. Did you guys ever play? Probably not, but there was an NFL game that did 1 year, I believe, where it was a full coach simulator, but you still had pretty good graphics of the people on the screen.
Okay.
And that was about two gens ago, but I remember being like, whoa, that's a step.
That's cool.
Nobody's really done that.
You know? I always think in racing games, like I want to get out of the car. I want to, you know, almost like,
or do testing, like maybe go like certifications, drivers.
I think about like, you know, having a character that I can almost like get up in the morning, have an apartment that I customize.
Oh,
get
like
in my car,
yeah, no, that's what I'm talking about. Like, yeah, like that's what I'm talking about. I think
is
that would
be
awesome.
Is that what that game is kind of like?
No, it's not that in depth. No, not even 100.
It's basically just a story mode for your races.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
It was just earlier than everything else.
Yeah, of like, you know, like when GTA and these games started, like, oh, you can, you know, drive the car.
That would be great, like GTA, but without the shooting. So like, imagine a Forza Horizon.
Grand
so
Auto.
Imagine a Forza Horizon 5, Horizon, where you can get out of the car, but you can participate in activities like bowling or whatever there is.
Yeah, like the side, almost like the GTA side stuff, bowling.
Yeah, like Yakuza, you know, like Yakuza, but like mainly it's like
to have a reason for them to come together, which is why I was saying an RPG, because like you could test cars, you could help them decide like what cartoon works for. I don't know, but I've just some always kind of thought career that would be
or whatever.
Yeah. It'd probably turn out to be shit. The reason why it probably hasn't been done, because it could have been done by now, is probably because the gameplay is too divergent, where they're just like those two don't mesh as well as I
see what
think.
You mean.
Yeah, and I think it's just also too much.
Yeah, because you're still,
I want it, man.
What if you're huge. Good at one thing but not good at the driving, Silver, or something like, you know what I mean? So like the RPG part wouldn't,
I love the immersion, because like, dude, in GTA Andreas, I had my fucking routine. I'd get up, I'd eat, you know, I'd go eat, I'd go gym. Like, I had this fucking routine, and I love this idea of, like, the immersion in a game where it's meta narratives.
Yeah.
As you said, I mean, these days, F1 does get fairly close.
F1 gets very
to that.
Close, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Where you have, I mean, you have the entire race weekend. You have testing, practice runs, which you get three of on each track. And then you have the three qualifying runs to set your qualifying time for the race to determine the starting grid. And then you have the race. And then in between that, you have like press events that you have to attend, talk to the press. You have to develop your car. Like you earn.
Yeah, that's
during
pretty. That's probably pretty close to what I'm talking about.
During your practice sessions, you earn research points that you can then pour into basically a skill tree for your car. So you upgrade your car through those tiers.
Yeah, that sounds like pretty close to what I was talking about. Any other questions?
No, I think we hit them all for today.
I want to pimp a game real quick. It's called She Sees Red. This is a Russian with English dubs FMV game about a murder. It's fairly short. It's Google Play as well as Steam. I think on Steam it's $9. On Google Play, I think it's $3. I played it on my tablet. It is about a detective going and investigating a murder and then playing the murder as well. And it's probably 35 to 50 minutes per playthrough, but each time you play through and make choices, the ending not only changes, but like stingers, almost like Marvel movies have a stinger at the end credits, those change.
Right.
Yeah.
And more data from the story gets plopped in. And not very good dubbing, like not very good voice actors, but for $3.99, that thing's made,
not bad.
That thing's well worth 15. Yeah, I don't know about on Steam if people would feel that way. But on Google Play, which is where I got it, that game was, it's just you sit back, they'll be like, do you, you know, distract this guy or do you go around and you choose it? And they have full acting, like we've talked about some of these, like contradiction, but they have full scenes. And by the way, the best film quality. That's the thing I took away from it, was that it looked like a movie. As in the cameras, you know, sometimes you'll see that show where you can tell they used not as good camera, like they're it looks like a B movie almost, and you can sort of smell it. Whatever stuff they used, and they have a credit scene you can watch where they show behind the scenes where they have full on fighters showing the characters what to do and stuff. It was very, again, don't expect amazing acting. It's not about that. It's sort of a choose your own adventure, fairly light game. Pretty short, but you can get through it 3 or 4 times and see difference. And it was pretty good. It's called She Sees Red, and it's on Google Play and on Steam. So anyway, awesome. Again, I'm not saying
and
it's amazing.
On Switch and GOG, etc. So it's pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, I think what happened was I think I saw some reviews where it was more expensive. Like on Steam, I think it's 10 or 15. And that's
on Steam, I just looked on the side. On Steam, it's about $7. On Switch and PlayStation, it's 10.
Okay, so I still think
on mobile, it's 3.
I still think if you got through all of it, 10 is, you know, for that kind of game, it's probably not too expensive. But it's just, it was just fun to play. It was just, it was, what would we talk about? It was entertaining. Well, it's not deep, but if you're just sitting around, you have, you know, some time to waste, you want to watch a movie and make some choices. What was the game on Netflix? Boondock or Boondoggle or Boons?
Yeah, it was a Black Mirror episode called Boondock. Boondoggle?
No, Bandersnatch.
Bandersnatch.
Is that what it was? Bandersnatch.
Yeah, Bandersnatch.
Wow,
yeah.
Boondoggle. We were close. Anyway.
Very close.
Yeah, we're right on the edge, like his Captain Planet. Anyway, that'll be it for us. Thank you very much for showing up. If you get a chance, I would love for you to subscribe to the Discord. It helps. Subscribe to the channel. Johnny, what are you streaming?
Actually, I have a special event tomorrow. My friend that's coming over to meet me here in person. He's also the mod in my stream. And we're gonna do
who is this?
A joint stream.
What's our username?
So his name is Corrido. He's always Corrido. There on my stream. Is a really nice guy, and we're gonna do like a joint stream IRL. So you know people, and that will be like face reveal where people will meet him after seeing him behind the scenes.
And this is at what time?
So this is 2 p.m. UK time.
So I think we figured out that was 8:30 or 6.
It's
8 or 6.
9 a.m.
Wrong both.
It's 9 a.m. EST. So I think
so 6
for you,
okay, it is 6. 6 Pacific yeah. time, yeah.
And we're going to be playing Lego Star Wars.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a good game to play. Yeah, so if you guys get a chance, check out his stream, Johnny Plays Live on Twitch next week. Prior to this podcast, if I'm thinking of the dates right, you will see one, if not three, reviews from me. I can't remember the exact days.
One or three.
Yeah, because there's a day where like our podcast is, and I think there's two on one and one on the other. But that'll be it for us. Again, if you get a chance, check out the shirts too. ACG on Teespring, the pretty sweet shirts.
And they have sweet fabric too. I don't know who you banged.
Yeah,
I banged them hard. That's weird.
No, I banged them hard because they put out some good stuff for
some
me, man.
Good stuff.
Yeah, dude. 10 out of 10 in bed. For whoever makes those shirts, because they are comfy as fuck. Abzi should know he ordered one, and it's been a year, and he still hasn't got it. Right? Didn't yours get stuck in like some boat?
I have no idea, dude. I ordered it, and it just never came.
Some random person went to they knew you're an ACG fan, and they were waiting at your doorstep.
And just took it.
Yep.
And it was such a cool one too. It was like had like the Oni.
Yeah, the Oni. Dude, they're sweet designs, man. I dig them, and that's not just me owning them. I actually think they're cool designs. That'll be it for us.
Yeah.
If you guys get a chance, jump into the Discord today. I don't know if we'll be streaming or yakking in voice chat. We may. Other than that, peace out, everybody. Enjoy your weekend.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Oh, almost hit the wrong one.